As we have mentioned, the legend is that Halevi died immediately after arriving in the Holy Land, never truly and fully fulfilling his dream of return to Jerusalem. But with Nachmanides, the Jews returned to Jerusalem. The synagogue he built became a beacon for Jews to return to Jerusalem. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 138, The Incredible Legacy of Nachmanides. I am Meir Soloveitchik. In 1267, one of the greatest of rabbis in Jewish history arrived in Jerusalem. Moses ben Nachman, known as Nachmanides or Ramban, famed leader of the Jewish community in Girona in northern Spain, was forced by the king of Aragon to publicly defend Judaism against the attacks of a Jewish convert to Christianity, Pablo Cristiani. As a result, Nachmanides was ultimately forced into exile. To the non-Jewish world, Nachmanides is not as famous as Maimonides, but his own intellectual range and achievement are as astonishing, and for Judaism, as influential. There are many profound differences in philosophy, method, and intellectual approach, but beyond all that, Nachmanides has left us commentaries on scripture, on Talmud, and on so much else. It can also be said of him something more, that while the synagogue named for him today in Jerusalem's Old City is somewhat small in space, in a certain sense, all of Jewish life in Jerusalem can be linked to him. In 1267, Nachmanides arrived in a Jerusalem largely devoid of Jews. Not even a minyan, a prayer quorum, existed. And in telling his story and that of the synagogue associated with his name, I am drawing on Aaron Horovitz's excellent introduction to the Old City of Jerusalem, Footsteps Through Time. After arriving in Jerusalem, Nachmanides described in a letter to his son the barrenness of the land of Israel. He saw this as ordained by God following the destruction of the temple and the exile of the Jews by the Romans. Of course, recognition of all this was long part of the rituals of Jewish mourning on the 9th of Av. Yet Nachmanides also insisted, as I discussed in both Bible 365 and in my writings and commentary, that in the midst of Jewish mourning, a miracle could be marked. Nachmanides argued that the fact that the land was to a great extent barren was a sign that it was waiting for the return of the Jewish people, that it was mourning for the destruction as the Jewish people mourned the destruction. As proof for his argument, Nachmanides noted in his letter to his son that the land grew more barren as he approached Jerusalem. Nachmanides put it as follows, and I'm drawing on a translation of the letter available online. The general principle, he wrote, is that, quote, the holier the land is, the more desolate it remains, end quote. In other words, if the Holy Land yearns for the Jewish people, then the holier a speck of soil may be, the more it resisted cultivation until the Jewish return. For Nachmanides, the solution was obvious. The Jews had to return to Jerusalem. If Jews were to return to the sacred city, then he believed God would return and Jerusalem would be rebuilt. Nachmanides thus wrote to his son about his plan. Quote, we found ruins of a house with marble pillars and a beautiful dome. We took it for a house of worship, since the city is ownerless and anyone who wants can take one of the ruins. We took it upon ourselves to fix up the house and began building. Then we sent to the city of Nablus to bring from there Torah scrolls, which were originally in Jerusalem but were sent there because of the Tartars. Now that we have established the synagogue and pray there, many people come to Jerusalem, men and women from Damascus and Aleppo and all the outlying areas, to see the site of the temple and cry over its destruction. Anyone privileged to see Jerusalem and its destruction will be privileged to see it when it is rebuilt and restored with the return of the glory of the divine presence. And you, my son, Nachmanides continued, your brothers and your father's house, may you all be privileged to see the goodness of Jerusalem and the comforting of Zion, signed your father, who worries and forgets, sees and remembers, end quote. The letter conjures up for us a striking scene. Let us imagine in our mind. Jerusalem is a fragment of what it once was. One sees within it the rubble left of the wars between Christian and Muslim armies. A Jerusalem largely devoid of Jews, and a rabbi within it suddenly repairing the rubble and creating a small synagogue, because he believes that in the dust and the destruction, there is holiness that remains. The words recall another great Sephardic sage, whom we have discussed, Judah Halevi, who, as we mentioned, concluded his great work, the Kuzari, with the rabbi, one of the heroes of the story, leaving the king of the Khazars for the land of Israel, explaining to the surprised monarch that he was inspired by the verse in the Psalms, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and embrace the dust thereof. And he said, this means that Jerusalem can only be rebuilt when Israel yearns for it to such an extent that they embrace her stones and dust. Here too with Nachmanides, an exiled rabbi, believed that if Jews would return to Jerusalem, Jerusalem would one day return to the Jews. This theology of the land of Israel for Nachmanides was grounded in his understanding of Scripture. For as we discuss in Bible 365, Leviticus draws to a close with a discussion that will be bestowed upon the people of Israel if it obeys God's laws, telling us that then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely, and I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. But the Almighty continues, if Israel breaks the covenant, then, quote, I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And Scripture adds, and I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the nations, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. So Scripture depicts the destruction and the exile. And for Jewish tradition, these prophecies were fulfilled in the exiles experienced by the Jewish people, in the several destructions of Jerusalem and of the land itself. But Nachmanides saw in these verses an inspiring teaching. The destruction of the land, we are informed by Leviticus, will astonish the nations. Again, the verse, I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. What this meant for Nachmanides was that even as the empires of the ages vied over the Holy Land, seeking to conquer and control it, the agricultural abundance of the area known as the land of milk and honey will not reveal its true bounty, that the land would lie waiting for the Jewish return. And the conclusion of the description of the destruction in Leviticus would be fulfilled. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. As we have mentioned, the legend is that Halevi died immediately after arriving in the Holy Land, never truly and fully fulfilling his dream of return to Jerusalem. But with Nachmanides, the Jews returned to Jerusalem. The synagogue he built became a beacon for Jews to return to Jerusalem. Mysteriously, Nachmanides himself at one point went north to Akko, teaching Torah there. But as Horowitz writes, there is still a striking parallel in the way the last sermon of Nachmanides that we have comes to a conclusion. It bears these phrases. The beauty of the world is Eretz Yisrael. The beauty of Eretz Yisrael is Jerusalem. Shepherd of Israel, hear us. He who is enthroned on the cherubs, reveal yourself. The synagogue Ramban created became the site of Jewish prayer for the next several centuries. All that we know about it comes from several descriptions of those who saw it, including the writings of Rabbi Obadiah of Bartanura, the Mishnah commentator, whom we shall discuss tomorrow. The synagogue was known, as Horowitz describes, for four pillars that dominated the room. Today, it is often assumed that what is called the Ramban Synagogue in the Old City is the site of the original building, but as Horowitz points out, this has been questioned because that building has not four but five pillars. Be that as it may, the reason why we cannot be sure, as Horowitz notes, is because the original synagogue of Ramban was lost to the Jewish people for many hundreds of years, because in the 16th century, the synagogue was torn down by Arabs in Jerusalem. It was rebuilt, but then in 1586, the Jewish community was permanently driven out of the building. But in a permanent theme, the Jewish lovers of Jerusalem refused to give up. Expelled from the site where Nachmanides had established Jewish prayer, they sought to serve God elsewhere in the city. And so they did. From Nachmanides on, Jerusalem would not be without a synagogue until today. And the city would give the Jewish world some of the most exquisite synagogues on earth, the four Sephardic synagogues, which we shall discuss soon, and the Churva synagogue, about which we will have so much to say. But in truth, every synagogue in Israel today, every prayer uttered, every communal quorum that gathers, is a tribute to Nachmanides, a man who arrived in a city with barely any Jews, and who would find in the Jerusalem of today a vindication of his faith. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.